you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 18th, 2022. And I'm going to talk really fast because I'm excited to share all that I think will be covered and talked about in the next day, probably the next day or two. I'm already thinking I'm going to have this special guest back for Testimony Tuesday, but I'm just getting to know him. And let me share a little story before I do a little more of a formal introduction. But last week, there was a special conference going on at Bible Baptist. It was a prophecy conference, but yet it was also like an evangelistic meeting and gathering for a number of nights. Well, two of my good friends, Elmer and Gail Zules, they attended, and they said when I saw them this past week, they said, you got to have that guy on. He was wonderful, great Bible teacher. He's involved in reaching out to people in Washington, D.C., has traveled the world. He's an evangelist, a good guy, seemed to be very Bible-based. Well, I believe that to be the case at Bible Baptist because they're a good congregation over there. And so anyways, I called up the church, got his number, and woohoo! Thank you, God. He's here in the studio with me. So joining me today on Monday when we read from our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early, is evangelist Dave Kistler. And you can find out more. I'll give this information at the end of the program and maybe during the program, but hopetothehill.com, hopetothehill.com. And evangelist Dave Kistler serves as the president of Hope Ministries International. He hosts Stand in the Gap Today and has spoken at many different conferences. I think you were saying 40-something weeks out of the year you're traveling and such.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've invited him to be a part of today's reading out of Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. And we opened up with a verse that we're going to see today. It's out of 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And as a way of show prep and just getting to know each other, because I'm fascinated by how he's been used of God traveling the world and how his ministry started small and grew, and then the influence they're trying to have in Washington, D.C., and the different parts of the world. But I said, Dave, can you address topics of prayer? And he goes, oh, Mark, I could tell you a lot of different stories how God really revealed the importance of prayer and such. So maybe before we do some of our reading, Dave, you know, with your ministry of reaching people in Washington, D.C., and for that matter, throughout the world, I'm sure prayer has been a focal point at different times, maybe sometimes more emphasized than others. But take us through a little of the importance of prayer as we're going to do some readings today.
Mark, I'm delighted to be on the program with you. Thank you so much. When we first started Hope Ministries International and started our ministry in Washington, D.C., we did a lot of strategizing because people in D.C. live on a different level. And to reach them, you have to be thoroughly prepared. Everything has to be very professional. So we spent a lot of time talking about how to most effectively impact them. And we did not do a lot of praying. And I'm just going to be candid with you. The ministry struggled. And a gentleman called me one day, a dear friend of mine, and I was sharing with him the frustration. The ministry's just not going like I envisioned it would. And he said to me something that I've never forgotten. He said, Dave, every man has to experience the death of his dream so that God can breathe his life into it. And I said, say that to me again. And so he repeated it.
And I'm going to have all you tune in carefully right now because he's going to repeat it. But I think it's applicable to all of you. And many of you know my story, too. I'm a worker bee. And sometimes I can step ahead of what God wants and how I've learned the importance of prayer. But so this individual, tell us again what he told you.
Well, he said, every man has to experience the death of his dream so that God can breathe his life into it. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, Mark. And I said to him, I said, I see it. I see it. And so I called everyone on our staff. I said, guys, we've done a lot of preparation. And I'm not against preparation. It's vitally important. But that which we started doing, which was praying first, preparing second, we kind of got upside down. We inverted the paradigm. And I said, we're going to go back to spending most of our time in supplication to the Lord. And then we'll do the necessary strategizing. But we're going to pray first. And then God just unloaded the windows of heaven on us. And we are now where we are all these years later because of the impact of seeking God first.
Would we drive people to hopetothehill.com? Is that the best site for them to find out more about your ministry?
It is, hopetothehill.com. That specifically deals with our DC ministry. We also have hopeministriesonline.com, which is our general website, but hopetothehill.com as well.
And Dave, I'll probably flesh some more of this in your testimony out tomorrow on Testimony Tuesday, because knowing that you've traveled the world and you've seen God at work in so many different ways and the inroads that are being made in Washington, D.C. that many people don't know about, the Christians that you influence or those that are coming to know the Lord because of your ministry and your passion. But with this being Monday and we talk about prayer, I think it's so important for our listeners to not only recognize the importance and the impact that prayer has, but to be praying for ministry like yours, like ours. Last week we talked about it. It was kind of fun. I told Marianne, I didn't want it to sound like it was self-serving, but our chapter 4 began with train others to pray for you. And I thought, oh, I love this chapter. I want our listeners praying for our ministry and not just praying for us, but praying for the impact that God can have through the ministry, because we cover a whole range of people throughout central Illinois and west central Indiana. And then with our streaming audio, parts of the world, we have people from different countries writing in or emailing or touching base, and we can go to a player and see where people are logged in from at any point, day or night. And it shows somebody in Africa, somebody in Israel, somebody in Venezuela, you know, wherever it's at. And it's like fascinating to see that they're logged down for 6 hours or 3 hours, but the importance of prayer. And so this book has really touched my heart. And as I mentioned, I said, you get a free copy for being with me today, and hopefully you can come back for Testimony Tuesday. But this book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early, I asked Dave, had he read it before? And he said, no, but I'm fascinated, obviously, by the concept. Prayer is very important and crucial. And I said, well, keep the book, but please read with us today. So we're looking at chapter 4. And last week we covered training others to pray for you, and very specifically the heading was Pray for Me. Today we're going to look at Pray for Me Part 2, and then Recognize Your Need for Prayer. So I think we'll have time to cover those three topics and then talk a little more about the importance of prayer and how you've seen God work through supplication and people praying on behalf of your ministry. HopeToTheHill.com or HopeMinistriesOnline.com. And so with me in the studio today is evangelist Dave Kistler, and he was serving about, was it 4 or 5 nights?
It was actually four nights.
Okay, 4 nights.
At Bible Baptist in Champaign.
Sure.
And a wonderful conference.
And you've returned there for a number of years, right?
Yes, I've been there 9 different times over the last decade, about every year.
Okay, and I said, next time you come in, make sure we know in advance and I can promote it, encourage people to attend. Because as I mentioned, Elmer and Gail Zules just told me, like on the last night, that you were sharing and delivering messages that you were in. And I'm like, oh, I would have promoted this. But we can certainly encourage them to stop by hopetothehill.com. HopeToTheHill.com. And thank you for joining me on such short notice.
Delighted.
Very busy schedule. And I think I did mention you're on many other radio stations hosting the program Stand in the Gap Today. So tell me a little about that, too.
Well, Stand in the Gap Today is part of the American Pastors Network, and I sit on the executive board with that organization. And Stand in the Gap Today is both a radio program as well as a TV program. And my responsibilities primarily are on radio, but we're actually on about 450 stations nationwide. Okay. From coast to coast, and we've been doing this about 8 years.
Wow.
And there's other guys that are involved with me as co-host the program, but it's been a great delight.
Great. All right. So we're looking at chapter 4, the heading, Pray for Me.
The Apostle Paul was one of the most influential leaders in history. He was one of the first missionaries, planted many churches, and wrote 13 books of our New Testament. He also knew the rigors of spiritual leadership and experienced severe levels of opposition that seemed incredible to most of us. On one occasion, he summarized some of the adversity he faced as a spiritual leader compared with his critics. And here's what he said in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again.
Hmm.
5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concerns for the churches.
You know, after reading that, I'm thinking, and we whine over, oh, my air conditioning in my car isn't working well, or, oh, shoot, we're not going out tonight. I'm going to have to eat leftovers. You know, we're so fortunate and blessed. And you and I were talking beforehand about the Lord's Prayer and how sometimes, you know, give us our day, our daily bread, and we can just take for granted really how spoiled we are, or
indeed,
the luxuries we just enjoy. I don't want to say flippantly, but we can be so accustomed to having so much that we forget. And here's Paul. He's been beaten. He's been battered. He's been shipwrecked. He's been brutalized. I mean, things that many of us can't even identify with. And yet he knew how to be content not only in these things, but he knew that God was still sovereign and in charge, even when these terrible things were happening.
How could he endure such intense levels of opposition in the ministry? What was his secret? While he never solicited money from his followers, six times in his letters, and presumably many more times in person, Paul asked the people to pray for him. And underneath this marker, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bullet points, and I'm just going to give those real quickly. First one he said was, brothers, pray for us. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:25.
Yeah, and I think last week, I love that. Isn't that like an encouraging one? Pray for us. It's just four words, but what an impact that could have for your ministry, for the ministry of Great News Media, knowing that listeners on a daily or weekly basis are praying for us. It's like, thank you, God, for those that are prayer warriors.
Amen. And second bullet point, finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:1.
And you mentioned that at the beginning of the program as we talked about an opening verse. Do you have a special interest in that verse, or why did you think that's a great one?
Well, the passage says, pray that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly. And that really has been our heart's desire at Hope Ministries and Hope to the Hill, because we're ministering to people that are highly influential, and we need to impact through the Lord's power their life very quickly. So that's why it resonated with me so much. Third bullet point, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. And that's Romans 15:30. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. That's Ephesians 6:19. And then the final bullet point.
And I know many pastors, that's what they recite, or they think about that every time they go up to proclaim a message or share on Sunday, that the words that come out of their mouths. And how many times do people pray that before they're going to share or deliver
indeed
a message? Yeah, that's a great one.
And then finally, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. And that's Colossians 4:3.
The mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. And maybe on Testimony Tuesday, we'll talk about that mystery of Christ, how we come to know him and how God desires that all would come to know him. So there may be somebody that's a skeptic that's tuned in today, or somebody that doesn't understand you can have a personal relationship with God and your chains can be broken. The chains that cause bondage into our lives, or the chains that keep us from living a full life surrendered to the Lord. So we'll probably talk about that during tomorrow Testimony Tuesday.
Reading on, John Huss was a Czech religious thinker, philosopher, reformer, and professor. He also contributed to the development of the language of the Czechs, who still honor him as a national hero. His teachings were some of the most influential in history and served as a catalyst for the Protestant Reformation. He actively believed that people should be permitted to read the Bible in their own language. Because of his views, Huss was imprisoned in a dark, murky dungeon. It was located where the sewers enter a lake. There he lay for almost 3 months. Within a few weeks, he fell ill with a very high fever and was bothered by rheumatism, gallstones, and constant vomiting. Later, Huss was moved to another place of imprisonment where he remained bound in chains night and day for 73 days. Writing from prison, he had but one concern. Dearly beloved, I entreat you, lying in prison, of which I'm not ashamed, For I suffer in hope for the Lord God's sake, to beseech the Lord God for me that he may remain with me.
So much like the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, it almost sounds like sacred scripture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's laced through with that. The next heading, Mark, is recognize your need for prayer. H.B. London Jr. is vice president in charge of ministry outreach and pastoral ministries for Focus on the Family. As a fourth generation minister, he has an intimate understanding of the stresses and perils involved in ministry. Neil Wiseman is a church consultant who previously served as a pastor and professor of pastoral development. In their book, Pastors at Great Risk, they quote the startling statistics from research conducted by Fuller Theological Seminary. And Mark, there's about 15 things mentioned here, all of which are important. Do you want to talk about
this? Yeah, let's, and there's a lot of percentages, so bear with us, but I think these are really important just to be mindful of or aware of, to not only increase maybe your effectiveness in praying, but to know what type of things the pastors struggle with or have to deal with on a daily basis or are part of their, if you will, job description.
The first one is 80% of pastors say they have insufficient time with their spouse and that ministry has a negative effect on their family.
When you hear 80%, I mean, that's like most all of them.
Well, Mark, I'm a pastor's son, and so I know a little bit about that.
Yeah.
My dad pastored 42 years. Now, we'll see this. He took a lot of time with our family, but the ministry stresses the family relationship. 40% report a serious conflict with a parishioner at least once a month.
Yeah, once a month. And on top of all the other responsibilities and duties and cares that they have each and every day, to have a serious conflict at least once a month on average is amazing.
It is. 33% say that being in ministry is an outright hazard to their family. 75% report that they've had a significant stress-related crisis at least once in their ministry.
Now, everyone, we don't share these to discourage you, but to equip you to maybe pray more effectively for your pastors and those in leadership roles.
Absolutely. 58% of pastors indicate that their spouse needs to work either part-time or full-time to supplement the family income. 56% of pastors' wives say they have no close friends. 45% of pastors' wives say the greatest dangers to them and their family are physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual burnout. Wow. 21% of pastors' wives want more privacy. Pastors who work fewer than 50 hours a week are 35% more likely to be terminated. That's an amazing statistic.
Yeah, the expectations that everyone has on pastors, unlike any other career, usually in various callings, you're proficient at IT or you're a good leader or you're efficient in some aspect of work. But a pastor, they want you to be good at everything, preaching, hospital visits, you know, organization, property management. I mean, it's endless, and they expect the pastor to be efficient or gifted in all of them, unlike any other career. But yeah, I know expectations are always off the charts.
They are. 40% of pastors have considered leaving the pastorate in the last 3 months. 25% of pastors' wives see their husband's work schedule as a source of conflict.
Yeah.
13% of pastors have been divorced. The clergy has the second highest divorce rate among all professions. 48% of pastors think being in ministry is hazardous to family well-being. That's almost half of the pastors.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I'm thinking, Dave, as you're reading all these statistics, how important it is for all of us to be praying for our pastors, to be lifting them up, to give them an encouraging word or send them a gift card or just a reminder. Don't just wait for Pastor Appreciation Month to do something, to do yard work for them or to ask them, what can you do, you know, babysit their children or give them a good date night out, but be praying for them. They need our prayers and support and encouragement.
And then to close out our reading for today, I know that you may not be a pastor, but regardless of where you serve in spiritual leadership, the pressures of ministry are intense. What do these statistics mean? They mean all spiritual leaders need prayer.
Yep, I guess I was already thinking that before we finished the reading. And I think you can testify, Dave, the importance that prayer has meant to you and your ministry team. And I've already said, listeners, that we're going to have Dave back tomorrow for Testimony Tuesday to find out a little more about how God has called him to serve in the current role as president of Hope Ministries International. Dave and others host a daily program, Stand in the Gap Today. You can find out more about his ministry and the ministry work they're doing at hopetothehill.com, hopetothehill.com, and hopeministriesonline.com, hopeministriesonline.com. You know, Dave, I'm just going to ask you to close out our time in prayer, maybe praying something along the lines for those in leadership positions or those pastors that are maybe discouraged or overwhelmed, or those that are thriving and are excited about the ministry days ahead, but could use a touch of God or a direction or a leading on what they should preach on this week. I'm going to also ask, so we want to pray for like the leaders and those in these high capacity roles, but also for maybe that person seeking the Lord today that hasn't understood that they can have a personal relationship, that there's a loving God that cares. So maybe the continuum of the pastors or the seekers, praying for them as we close out our program.
Delighted to, Mark. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for giving us this time on radio together. And Father, as we've read through this section of this book, powerful book, and these phenomenal statistics, Lord, we are driven to our knees in prayer for the pastors and the leaders spiritually of this nation and literally, Lord, around the world. I pray you would give them what they need. And Lord, I pray that their parishioners, those to whom they minister, would come alongside them, unlike Aaron and Hur of old, who lifted up Moses' arms at a strategic time of battle in Israel's history. Father, may the parishioners and the people in the congregation lift up the arms and strengthen the hands of those that minister to them. And then, Lord, we pray for those that may be listening today who don't have a personal relationship with you. They don't know for sure that their eternity is settled. Lord, maybe they don't understand that you are a God of love who sent the only Son you had, Jesus, to die on an old rugged cross to forgive their sin. Father, I pray you would speak to them and use something that was said today to arrest their attention and by your Holy Spirit, draw them to yourself and to the point of forgiveness and salvation that's available in the person of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for all of this, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' matchless name, I do pray. Amen.